Final case this morning is Ponick v. Guy Strieve & Associates, et al. This is Ponick v. Guy Strieve & Associates, et al. Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Counsel, I think the question for us this morning is, does Nebraska law protect investor citizens or those who prey upon it? I think the answer to that is the law protects the investor citizen. Let's take a look at this case and the facts behind it. First of all, I think it's time for us to look at and define, with your decision, that brokers are fiduciaries. Realtors are fiduciaries in this state. South Dakota holds brokers with a fiduciary responsibility. They have as much responsibility to individuals as anyone. And the case law, I think, suggests that there is a good connection, strong connection, between a professional and a fiduciary. And I ask you to think about, who has the most influence on a person's lifetime? Certainly, that is in terms of financially. Certainly, that is to the Ponicks, it had an extreme impact on them. They gave their total retirement funds to Mr. Strieve, who was supervised by HTK. What did they do with it? They ignored the industry standards, and they let Mr. Strieve throw the money into some fund that he was affiliated with as a director.
Counsel, and you mentioned really that you're asking this court to define a broker as a fiduciary, which hasn't been done in Nebraska, correct?
Correct.
I did note that you filed a petition to bypass to the Supreme Court that was denied. But didn't the Parks case determine that a broker in that case was not a professional?
Distinction between professional, and I think the case law says it, and a fiduciary. And I understand that. And they
did. But isn't your whole goal to get to the continuing representation exclusion, or exception, I should say, to the statute of limitations?
For this particular case, I'll tell you what, there are very few cases that get to court. Why? Because there's arbitration agreements. Then you have to go to arbitration, and there's no law. So I'm fortunate to be able to present this law to you, and I think I suggested that. So here is an opportunity that you may not see again. You got to see this in the Parks case and other cases in 2010. It's 2017.
But we have to follow Parks, you understand.
But you have to follow Parks. I don't think you're distinct. I'm not asking you to distinguish Parks. Parks is given law in this state. What I'm asking you to do is look at the fiduciary relationship. And we have good case law on that. And then examine that with respect to, which the court did not. The district court did not. So I'm asking you to look at the facts of this case and say, was there a clear fiduciary relationship between the Ponicks and Mr. Strieve and HTK? And I suggest to you, there is no doubt, not a little, no doubt, that there was a fiduciary relationship, which is not Parks.
So where does that take us, if there's a fiduciary relationship?
Well, it takes us a long way. For example, I would say what that happens is that raises the standard. In terms of brokers, you see that on a national level. The Department of Labor right now is trying to establish that as the broker's duty nationally. Other states, I would suggest to you, have made that their law ahead of time. So where that goes,
we're talking
to
about
this
duty
case,
but how does that get us out of the statute of limitations?
It takes
problem.
Us right to the continuing duty. It takes you to discovery. Well, let me address the continuing duty. What I think you see here factually is the Ponicks never stopped believing Mr. Strieve. Indeed, recall Mr. Strieve's deposition where he said, this product absolutely was a great product. That's the guy that they're listening to.
Was it after that they received a letter from the president of one of the companies indicating that there was a
no,
problem?
Good question, Your Honor. That takes me to another area in terms of fiduciary duty. In 2004, he sent a letter to the president of the company saying, you know, I'd like more dividends. I mean, who doesn't say I'd like more dividends? Catch the drift here? He's asking for dividends. There are no dividends. These products don't give dividends. They give distributions. There's a big difference. First of all, we don't get any financial statements. You didn't see any financial statements here, balance income statement. So we have no idea what this money was that he was given. I think in my reply brief, I showed you where you can take a look at the distributions and show where it says non-compensation. So the defendants want to say that That letter meant something. That was inquiry notice. And back to the Chief Judge's question, if it's a fiduciary standard, inquiry notice is off the table. Doesn't apply because you're relying on that person. But let me take you back and ask you something. The guy, Mr. Ponick, writes a letter and says, I want my dividends to be increases, which tells you he's ignorant. He doesn't know that he's financially ignorant. Doesn't know it's not a dividend. Second, let's compare that to what HTK knew. What did HTK know? They knew from 1996 that Mr. Strebe was selling away. They deny that, but look at the questionnaires. Mr. Strebe nuances his answers. They ask him, are you selling the product to your customers? And he says, well, sometimes, and some customers. What investigation was done? None. From 1996 to 2007, I would argue, and you have the documents in front of you, what you see is HDK, whose duty it is to investigate selling away, who had evidence of selling away, didn't discover it. So let's compare that with the letter that Mr. Ponick wrote, asking for more dividends. Who has more knowledge here? Which is the fiduciary duty? Seems to me it's obvious that the broker and the broker-dealer here have a fiduciary duty. By ignoring that, I think you're ignoring where our law is if we don't establish it this time, because you aren't going to see a case like this again. Why? Because all the cases go to arbitration. They have to. So, Your Honor, I would suggest that that letter was meaningless. It would be like anybody in the 08-09 time period, after all the banks dropped their dividends, saying, gee, I want more dividends.
You don't think it puts your client on notice of the problem?
No, I don't.
Why is that?
Well, let's take a look at 08-09. Whose dividend didn't get cut if you had a bank stock? Answer is everybody's. Was there a problem? Well, it was a financial problem to the company. Was the company bad? No. How is it that some inquiry about, and by the way, let's not forget, it wasn't that he didn't get these distributions. Let's also make the terminology correct. There were no dividends. There are no dividends in this case. There are distributions. So when he writes and asks for distributions, he's asking for more. What's the record say that he had? He had $160,000 of distributions for Forexco and $16,000 approximately from City Energy. Wasn't getting none. He was getting, I would suggest, a lot. He just wanted more.
Based upon your allegation of the representations made at the time of the investments.
They said they were going to get dividends, right?
Right. And
that so that was false. And they said they were going to get them for a lifetime. Now, I don't know how long these dribbled out. I don't.
But they knew they weren't getting what was represented to them at the beginning.
Sure. What was represented? Excuse me, but let me ask a rhetorical question here. What was represented to them in terms of how much? There's no quantitative evidence at all. But no financial statement.
But they were told they were going to get dividends.
They were told they'd get dividends, and they did. And they didn't
get dividends. No, they didn't get dividends.
I actually want to reserve 2 minutes if I can. But
well, I want to know about, they would have had to get a tax statement. They'd had to get something.
Yes, yes.
And it would have shown that it wasn't dividends.
Well, who does their own taxes? There's another.
Be careful there.
Well, there's another fiduciary. You can see what he thought, because the letter said, "I want more dividends." He's thinking he's getting. But frankly, and you say, "Well, he's not so smart financially." Look at the briefs. The briefs from the defendants talk about dividends, and there are none. There just are none in this product.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we have, no, you're good. I noticed two of you here. Do you both intend to present?
Your Honor, we intend to split our time first.
Right, 5 and 5?
5 minutes.
Okay, all right, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel, my name is Jonathan Papik. I'm here on behalf of Guy Strebe and Guy Strebe and Associates, Inc., and as I indicated, Ms. Snowden will be arguing on behalf of HDK. I intend to use 5 minutes. I want to start with a question that Judge Moore asked to counsel, and that is where counsel started was with fiduciaries, and I believe Judge Moore asked, where does that get us? And counsel indicated that that had an impact on the continuing relationship doctrine, and I would argue that it doesn't for at least a couple reasons. One is the Parks case, where the Nebraska Supreme Supreme Court held that financial advisors, brokers, are not professionals. And as you stated, I don't think that that's a decision that you can reconsider today. And the Supreme Court has never applied the continuing relationship doctrine outside of the professional context. It was asked to in the St. John's Lutheran case that this court decided, and it declined. The other reason it doesn't matter is that the Nebraska Supreme Court has said that even when the continuing relationship doctrine applies or can apply in the case of a professional, it's not available to the plaintiff if the plaintiff is on inquiry notice of their cause of action before the termination of the professional or continuing relationship. That's the Rinke case, the economy housing case. And as the district court found in this case, the plaintiffs were on inquiry notice, and so the continuing relationship doctrine was not available to them to toll the statute of limitations, even if it could apply in this context, given Mr. Strieve's status. One other thing that I'd like to talk about is the concept of inquiry notice. And there was some discussion of a letter that Mr. Ponick sent to the president of Forexco and the question of, is that enough to establish inquiry notice? And I would submit that there is much more evidence than just that letter, and it's referred to in our briefs. But the second amended complaint, which is the operative complaint in this case, alleges that Mr. Strieve made various representations about these products. Now, I want to be clear that for the purpose of the merits of the case, we deny that some of these representations were made. But I think for the purposes of discovering when plaintiff had notice of their claim, you have to assume that the representations were made. And these alleged representations were things like that their investments would quadruple in 4 years, that they'd receive monthly dividends, that they've received income for the rest of their lives. And in Mr. Ponick's deposition, he conceded that within a few years of those representations, they hadn't been fulfilled, and he had concerns about that. And he followed up on the concerns not just with a letter to the president of Forexco, but with notes he kept himself documenting the problems he saw with his investments. And when he was asked in his deposition why he did that, he said he was concerned that the representations that Mr. Strieve had made to him were not true. He also asked Mr. Strieve questions. In his deposition, he said the reason he did that was he was concerned there was a problem with Mr. Strieve's advice. And I would argue that that is the essence of inquiry notice as the Nebraska Supreme Court has defined it. It has said that you don't have to know everything about the problem. You don't have to know the full extent of the damages or even the source of the problem. All you have to know is that a problem existed. And Mr. Ponick clearly believed that a problem did exist.
And was that all in the 2004 time frame?
2004, 2005, 2006. And that leads to one more point I wanted to make. And counsel alluded to 08, 09, and that being the time of the market crash, and everybody's was on inquiry notice then because of what was happening in the market. And that's just the point. This was happening in 2004, 2005, 2006. Mr. Ponick was making his own notes. He was writing a letter to the president. He was asking questions of Mr. Strieve. He attended a meeting of a local meeting of Forexco investors and asked questions because he had concerns. And then I'd also argue that the last investment he made was in 2003, and within the alleged representations are he was told, well, your money's going to quadruple in 2 years. You're going to get these monthly dividends. You're going to get income for the rest of your life. He conceded that within a few years of the last investment that those alleged representations hadn't come to fruition, and that too would put it in the 04, 05 time frame. And I would argue that at that point he was on inquiry notice, and because plaintiff cannot show a reason that the statute of limitations was told, I would ask you to affirm the decisions of the district court. If there are no further questions, I'll turn it over to Ms. Snowden.
Okay, thank you. How much time did he have left?
He had 3 seconds.
You have 5 minutes. How's that?
Sounds good. May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. Morning. I'm Andrea Snowden. I represent Appley Horner Townsend and Kent, referred to as HTK. I'll be presenting the argument today on their behalf. Let me start off by saying that for, I think, the analysis of the issue with regard to the statute of limitations, HTK and the Strieby defendants are in the same position. And so for that reason, we join in the arguments made by counsel for Strieby, both in their brief and here this morning. And I don't want to retread any ground already covered today. I want to focus in on the issue of fraudulent concealment, because that was an issue that was raised by appellant, and there's been allegations in relationship to that. The HTK knew that Mr. Strieby was selling away to customers, selling away being the industry term for selling unauthorized security products. There is no evidence, let's be clear, there is no evidence in the record that HTK knew that Mr. Strieby was selling away products to the Ponics during the time frame in question. Again, we're talking about transactions from 1996 to 2003. Mr. Strieby had been affiliated as a registered representative with HTK from 1972 until 2008. There is no evidence in the record that HTK knew Mr. Strieby was selling away to the Ponics. Plaintiffs assert that HTK knew something about the selling away issue sometime in the year of 2007 and did not tell the plaintiff. It is unclear to me what plaintiffs allege HTK's actions did or did not induce the plaintiffs to do in this case. If it is with regard to the purchasing of these products, well, that had stopped in 2003. The last purchase was in 2003. If it isn't with regard to the tolling of the statute of limitations, that also would not apply. Fraudulent concealment may stop a defendant from asserting a statute of limitations defense when the defendant has, either by deception or violation of a duty, concealed from the plaintiff material facts which prevent the plaintiff from discovering the basis of the facts constituting the action. The court has been clear, the Nebraska Supreme Court has been clear, that the fraudulent concealment doctrine, if you will, that might stop assertion of the statute of limitations does not apply when the claimants actually discover the basis of the facts constituting the cause of action within at some point in time. And here, as has already been discussed by Mr. Papik, there is ample evidence in the record that plaintiffs were on inquiry notice and had the ability to discover the basis of the claim at least by March 2014. It's in March, or 2004,
Thank you.
It's in at least March of 2004 that Mr. Ponick writes the letter to the president of Forexco saying, I'm going to have to pass on any more purchases because I need more dividends. He admits in his deposition that at that point in time, he was concerned about his investment.
There really weren't dividends ever issued, were there?
Apparently not. There were distributions that were made. The key point is that the plaintiffs, at least by that point in time, had information that they led them to be concerned about the alleged representations that Mr. Strieby had made to them and gave them sufficient notice to discover the basis of their cause of action.
Wouldn't the way that the tax code addresses distributions be different than the way they would address dividends?
Yes, I suppose it would, Your Honor, but we can't escape the fact that the Ponics knew, but both based on the fact that they hadn't received what Mr. Strieby had allegedly promised them they were going to receive. They had received written materials from City Energy and Forexco themselves that directly contradicted the representations that Mr. Strieby allegedly had made to them. Disclosures, there was extensive disclosures that accompanied these investments that were inconsistent with the alleged representations by Mr. Strieby. I also would want to point out that plaintiffs point to no facts that they discovered between 2008 and 2012 which would have led them to file their lawsuit any sooner within.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
Anything further? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
How much time does appellant have? All right.
Thank you very much. Just a few items, if I may. First of all, and I'll take off from Ms. Snowden's comments, and that is that there were disclosures. I think there's plenty of evidence to show that a disclosure, you're handing somebody a book, it's like handing you an automobile owner's manual when you buy a car and say, oh, by the way, here's your owner's manual. The industry says, and I've cited it plenty of times, that is insufficient. A broker has a responsibility to his client, and I suggest that as a fiduciary one, that is a high standard of honesty and integrity. Don't have here at all. The next is, I think, Judge Inbody, you ask about tax difference. There absolutely is. A dividend comes out at the very top of a 1040. A distribution is something that is handled on a K-1, and that goes differently. And that's a complex situation. That's why I inferred that you have to have knowledge of that also if that imputes knowledge. Let's go back to the balance. First of all, let me say this. If you hold it as a fiduciary duty, and I don't see where you can't, I'm a common sense guy, wow, what else did these people rely on? And why did they rely on him so long? Because this guy's advertisements were that he was a genius. So the next Warren Buffett, why would you go anywhere else? They relied on him for that purpose. So now it's a balancing act. Inquiry notice is gone if there's a fiduciary duty. Second, let's assume it's not, and so now who knows what? Guy Strieve and HTK know a lot about this, never disclosed anything to the Ponics, and therefore I think there should be liability. Thank you
very much.
Anything further?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate you being here. We have the case under advisement. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.